The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, we've got that drop. You know the one. The one about Chewy being right and whatnot. I don't know that he's done anything right now to deserve the drop, but I'm using it as a point of reference because...
Is that the stuff I'm supposed to get?
Yes, sir.
Why are they wearing those funny suits?
Well, they're protective, as you know. That's a very corrosive byproduct they're handling.
Oh, yeah. Because if they didn't wear those suits, those boys would be so full of holes they'd whistle when they walk.
I was... Gabe, help me out.
Well, it appears that you have your facts wrong, Mr. Gantry. Your company is supposed to get 1,500 gallons. Destination someplace called Belle Isle in Louisiana. Signed for by an officer of your company and due the 23rd.
I believe the word you're searching for is wrong.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, wrong. You are not right.
Like,
you are incorrect.
Why is there a W in front of wrong, Gabe?
So, we're right and you're wrong.
Let me see that. Takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. I am not a big man.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They make it.
A bit of a different scene this morning for Gabe Neitzel and I here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we are at AmFam Field and not on the warning track as we typically are when we are talking about Brewers baseball. Gabe, where the hell are we?
So we are inside X Golf at American Family Field, and this is kind of the... It's been a number of different things at the stadium, but when you take a look at the stadium, you see the giant windows that are out in left field. That's where we are. But we're not here for X Golf today, even though I love this place. Upper Deck Golf, which goes around to different stadiums across the country and puts up just a little golf competition, and you can kind of come through and try your best at closest to the pin. They've got 9 different pins and targets in the outfield, and then you have 9 different tee boxes all throughout the stadium. So I'm looking across. I see one in the club level right above the press box. There's 2 up in the loge level, just all over the stadium. And then you get to hit golf balls onto the field here at American Family Field.
Now, I imagine, and Chu, you're familiar with the X Golf brand, and of course Top Golf around the country as well, where you can kind of do this thing where you hit the targets. I imagine they tell you the distances on each of these from each spot. That's what the different colored flags are for.
Yeah, you're supposed to. Yeah, they'll let you know, you know, what one you're hitting to, how far that is from the different teeing grounds that they have all throughout AmFam Field.
This is a great way to use the stadium, to use the facility in the off season, right? We often talk about what do we do with AmFam Field when the Brewers are not playing, and this seems like a great way to get people back out to the ballpark, to utilize the space. And Chu, I imagine if you were here, you would dominate at this. This feels like something right up your alley because you don't have to walk a course. You have to do all of the. You don't have to talk to people, right? You just go to your one spot.
He would try to hit something off of the scoreboard, is what
he would
do.
Well, let me ask you.
This would not be right up his alley. He would be breaking things all throughout the stadium.
Is the roof open? Because I'm seeing breath from you two.
No, the roof is not open. We are inside the cozy confines of X Golf.
First of all, you're lying. Second of all, shart and farter, because you are in Florida, where I'm sure it is a lovely.
I'm a shart and farter.
8 o'clock there. I'm sure we're reaching temperatures of 75 degrees at this point. Is it that warm? What are you dealing with down there?
Yesterday we had 88. It's a little steamy. I'm actually. I'm ready
baby.
To come back. I'm ready to come back for a week.
All right,
come
we'll take
back
it.
Sunday.
Hey,
I'm a little excited.
Hey, here we
cut
go.
Cut the grass one more time. Cut the grass one more time. Gabe, have you striped any
now
fence
we're
yet or
now
no?
We're starting to figure out why he wants to come back, because he wants to cut his grass. He doesn't have a lawn down in Florida. He misses cutting the grass, and he wants to come back. Not to see us, not to hang out on the show, but to cut his grass.
Events have taken place in stadiums. sorry, Chew, such as Fenway Park, Wrigley Field, Dodger Stadium, PNC Park. So it's great to have it here at AmFam Field as well. Chewy, I got to ask you a question, though, because you are in Florida. And we always talk about how you go down to Florida, there's the time change. So when it's 7 o'clock here, it's 8 o'clock there. Theoretically, you're getting an extra hour in the morning before you have to jump on with us lunatics. And I feel like it sort of maybe kind of mimics what we've been dealing with this week with daylight saving. I am over it. I am all the way over the old daylight saving. And I feel like it's not just people with kids, because that's the common thing, right?
Well,
it's
I was about to say, I think the thing so with you hard. Is 100%, because you have kids, which is, it's. I mean, but kids don't have a...
You have a dog. Yeah. Joshy has a dog. Like, the dogs don't know the time. The dogs want to be fed when the dogs were fed. And when the clock changes, we're so accustomed to the schedule. Joshy and I were talking about this yesterday when we were at Pottawatomie for the Weekly Wager, our radio show on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7, where we talk about sports betting. And Joshy was like, yeah, the pup, right, Josh? You were saying the pup has a tough time.
Yeah, I've been getting up. Usually we get up at 4 a.m. That's when I get up to come to work. And for the past, since daylight savings, it's been about 3:15, 3:30, 3:45, which is not great to wake up to before you're having to get up and get ready.
So, Jen, you're saying the witching hour changes for the kids? Because typically all my kids' witching hour was like late afternoon. That's when they turn into beasts. So now it's in the morning?
How about both?
Why not both? Why limit yourself to one witching hour when you can have multiple witching hours?
My 5-year-old fell asleep on the bus yesterday on the way home. My 6-year-old was like, Mom, she fell asleep like 10 times. I was like, she's tired. She's tired. She can't figure out the schedule. She was up this morning at 4:45. How fun for me. You know?
Why you'd fall asleep on the bus if you're waking up at 4:45.
I thought daylight saving at one point had some like tie into farming and like needing to be aligned with the sun. We don't need to do that anymore. And I thought, and maybe I'm wrong because that happens as it did, you know, the one time yesterday on the show. I thought that there was some like government involvement where they were trying to get rid of this sucker. I thought they were getting rid of daylight saving, and all of a sudden it's still here.
Yeah,
I thought the big issue was, you know, the government didn't want the kids at the bus stop when it's dark out. And that's why they changed it. Have you ever heard that theory?
No.
Which makes sense.
But that makes sense. I could buy into that.
Yeah.
Because it is pretty, I mean, it is a little bit lighter. It was very dark before daylight savings time in the morning.
But here you need daylight savings because before we went back the hour, the sun literally wouldn't come up here till about 10 till 8.
Whoa.
And it's just, would set, obviously, darker in, at night. Now, I think some states need it, some states don't. And that's why, I mean, there's very few states that don't have it. Like Indiana, Arizona.
And like pockets of Arizona.
Wait, Indiana has it? Indiana has daylight saving, don't they?
No, I think there's a pocket. I think Arizona doesn't do it as a state, but there are pockets of Indiana that don't do daylight saving.
Can you imagine driving from Milwaukee to Waukesha, and Waukesha is a different time than Milwaukee?
Say that again?
Waukesha.
Waukesha?
Well, Waukesha. Right, isn't it Waukesha? No.
You were adding an extra, like,
Waukesha.
E in there. Mm-hmm.
No, Waukesha. Mm-hmm. I got a girlfriend who's from that area, and she always said...
From Waukesha.
Waukesha.
I call
Why
it
are you adding an E?
Because it's fun!
Right? I thought it was. I thought it was Waukesha. Well, some people say Waukesha, but I feel like people from that area, again, my girlfriend born and raised there, called it Waukesha with an E.
Chewy's kids went to West. I defer to the man who coached at the school and kids who went to the school.
We're deferring to Chewy's offspring for this?
Yeah.
Well, I call it Washishusha, and then I call Oconomowoc Ock Ninimowoc.
Because it's fun. That's fun to say.
Yeah.
800-990-3776.
I made a mistake. I deferred to Chewy. That's on me.
Yeah, and then you deferred to his offspring as though they are getting their information from him. They're getting it from somewhere else. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I thought that there was at least a sect of the population that says Waukesha. But I could be wrong. It's happened. It happened yesterday on the show. I want to get rid of daylight saving. Can anybody else jump on board? If I were to run a campaign, that would be my platform. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get rid of daylight saving, okay? Nobody needs it. It doesn't make any sense. The kids are crazy, and that's that.
Yeah, I have not seen much of an issue. My dog adjusted, like, after his time to eat adjusted on Sunday, he's been fine. Other than, you know, yeah, I've had to tie him out of bed because it's so dark, and it's still dark in the morning when I try to take him for a walk at 5. But you know, other than that, it's fine.
But the toughest,
I've got no problem.
The toughest time of the year for us is when football is over and the sun doesn't come up till like 7:30. There's nothing worse than leaving the house.
I'd
leave it at like 10 till 6 and it's dark as ever, right? That's the worst time of year. The best is 100%. When, you know, you see light at the end of the tunnel in spring, and then in the spring it goes forward? Yeah.
Spring forward,
fall back. Yeah.
Well, you'll be happy to know that my daughter this morning, as she was enjoying her breakfast at the lovely hour of 5:08, said, "Mommy, when is summer vacation?" I said, "Oh,
she's got a long ways to go."
Let's focus on maybe, you know, a little Thanksgiving break first.
Yeah,
let's get there first.
A number of things before we get there. So we are out here at AmFam Field in the X Golf location. Gabe, where are we? This has been here for how long? The X Golf.
So X Golf opened end of the season in 2022. So they just completed their second full season here. It's a great spot for I play an X Golf league during the winter out here. It's a great spot if you're thinking of a place for a holiday party. Like, this space is large. They've got the two different bars. We're in a VIP area. It looks like they've got some comfy recliners. So it obviously can be utilized if you want to do the holiday party space for the simulators and the golf, but it's just a really cool, unique event space as well if you're looking for something like that around the holidays.
And I believe this is open all weekend long, right?
Yeah, so for Upper Deck Golfing, you can get your tee times, upperdeckgolfing.com/AmericanFamilyField to book tee times. Today is the first day, and it runs through the ninth.
It's got to be a good place to watch a Packer game, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've been up here. You've been to this one, right, Chu?
I haven't been to that one.
I've
been to Mequon, and I've been to Brookfield. Yeah.
So behind the bar here at X Golf, American Family Field, they've got four screens that they can turn into one. Like, that is prime viewing for any sporting event.
Okay. Chu, I'm going to blow your mind here. Did you know that it's daylight saving time and not daylight savings time? Did you know that?
That I did not know. Why is that?
Daylight. I don't know. I just know everybody says daylight savings and it's daylight saving.
Because you're saving the daylight.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Does it make sense? Did we do it? Did we save the daylight? Did we save it?
Doesn't feel like it.
Damn it. Well, I guess we'll just have to try again in the spring.
All right, we got to take a break here on Jed, Gabe, and Chewy. We do have Jason Wilde coming up this morning. There was a big development, a big revelation yesterday regarding the Preston Smith trade. I didn't see it coming, had no idea. And Gabe feels like good on Goody for how it all shook out. We will talk to Jason Wilde about that right after this on Jed, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Ready? Hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jason Wilde in just a moment here live from AmFam. and the upper deck event that they have going on here this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But before we do that, Gabe, you were saying that this Preston Smith development yesterday, which was that he had in fact gone to the Packers brass and asked for, requested a trade, sort of changed your viewpoint a little bit. Yesterday you were saying, oh, the Packers got worse by trading Preston Smith. But now knowing some of the details of why it went down the way that it did, you wanted to hand out some flowers, some compliments.
Yeah. So, I mean, the team to me still got, again, we can debate about how much worse. I don't think it's appreciably worse, but I think they still got worse. You're trading away a starter. You're trading a guy who's played the second most snaps at defensive end. You're not going to get better doing that. But the way that Goody handled it, now that we know that Preston Smith 2 weeks ago went to the Packers and asked for a trade, like Goody could have easily stood up there, you know, on Wednesday and said, or on Tuesday after the trade deadline, and said, hey, he asked for a trade. We decided that, you know, hey, we could get something for him. You know, we wanted to do something that made us both happy. Here's why we did it. And he didn't. He left that up. If Preston wants to let it be known that he requested a trade, okay. You know, he requested a trade. And I think that just for a team that's not necessarily known for doing good by veteran players to handle the request, be able to trade him, and he made note of this, obviously, to trade him to a team that's in a really good playoff spot in Pittsburgh. Like, good on Goody for the way he handled that, because he could have easily stepped up there and said, yes, this is what he asked for, so this is why we decided to do it. Instead, he let Preston tell the story.
So now we go out to Jason Wilde, who is joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Sorry about that, Chewy. We'll get to you in 1 second.
Right.
Jason, did you have a similar reaction to Gabe when you heard that detail yesterday?
Well, yes, but I also wondered then, why did Goody unprompted tell us that? It's not like we were calling around, hey, are you interested in Preston Smith? Because wouldn't that have been exactly what they were doing after he requested the trade? Like, I agree with both of your points that it's nice that he did not come out and say that he had requested a trade. At the same time, he offered up unsolicited. You know, it's not like we were calling around asking if teams were interested in him, which is not exactly what you had to do once he requested a trade. Like, he could have left both pieces out of that, I guess, is what I'm saying, because he wanted to, I guess he wanted to get it out there that they weren't really looking to trade him. But the way he painted the picture was inaccurate, and he did that apparently on purpose. Where he didn't, again, it wasn't like I asked him, hey, Goody, were you actively seeking to trade him? He kind of offered that up by himself. So, again, I'm with Gabe. I don't think it makes them significantly worse. I don't think he was trending in the right direction in terms of his contributions. My issue was, before knowing that he wanted to be traded, my issue was, here's a guy who, obviously, even if he's not playing as much as he was at the start of the season, if you suffer injuries, he sure would be nice to still have on your team and still be part of your rotation. And Goody even acknowledged that when you move on from a player like Preston Smith, you're only one or two injuries away from saying, hey, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. That was what Goody, again, said unprompted. So But the layer that he wanted to be traded definitely changes the way you view this. And what I find interesting is that, you know, I wrote that story for last Sunday about Halfley, and I talked to 12 different players about him. And Preston Smith was not one of them, because the only time he's in the locker room is when he's playing that stupid game where they motion one way or the other and the other guy's got to react, they're facing each other. So I didn't talk to him, but everyone else is like really fully bought in and likes the system and likes Halfley. Interesting that he's kind of like Aaron Campman was back in 2009 when Dom Capers came in.
But Jason, I heard that the reasoning behind it was because he feels he's better in a 3-4 than a 4-3. I'm just smelling an excuse coming from another player at the end of the year.
Well, Chewy, clearly he missed dropping out and covering receivers in the slots. I mean, how else can you explain this? He clearly missed being able to, but you know, go one-on-one with some wideouts.
You know what he liked was getting roasted on social media.
Yeah.
He's like, it's good
for my
brand.
Can you see at the end of the year, though?
My name out there.
Can you see at the end of the when Rashawn Gary has 3.5 sacks and, you know, I'm a better 3-4 than I am a 4-3?
Ooh.
Is it?
I hate it when I have to do this. I really hate it. But that's a really good point. Like a really good point. Chewy was right.
Chewy was right. Holy.
There it is.
Chewy was right.
That's the piece of this that, and look, I think you guys know me. I am not Mr. Negativity. There are those that cover NFL teams. I won't mention any names, but they just love the negative angles of just about everything, and they jump at those opportunities. And I am not wired that way. And I definitely, you know, the way it worked out with Rashawn Gary was I'd been trying to get him for 2 weeks where he was, because he hadn't been productive. And then he had the game where he had the sack and he had a couple of pressures. What was that one that they moved him around? Was that Houston or was that it must have been Houston, right?
Yeah, they moved him around.
And he was lining up everywhere. Yep. And so then I get him, and, you know, the angle of that story changes slightly from the $96 million man has not been productive to he hasn't been productive, but he was productive in this game, and maybe that's the tipping point to get him going again. Because I don't like to write negative stories without talking to players first. Even Chimura, when he had that stupid locker in the corner that you couldn't get to. But in Rashawn Gary's case, that right now looks a little bit like an anomaly again, right? Like, since then, not a lot of impact from him. I know he shared the sack with Aaron Mosby, but that's really a really good point. Like, I wonder if somewhere down deep inside, that's how Rashawn Gary is either feeling or viewing this because of his lack of production, that he doesn't fit in the scheme. But what's weird is the dude at Michigan played with his hand down, played in a traditional 4-3 where he had to make the transition when he got to the league to be a stand-up guy. Now, maybe he got here and did that and was like, this is the better fit for me. But again, let's be fair. He wasn't ultra productive last year when he was playing in the Joe Barry system. And it's very hard for me to imagine anyone saying at this point, God, I really miss playing in Joe Barry's scheme.
Well, and here's where I get
Jason, a little bit lost.
Go ahead, Joe.
Jason, you are someone, and I love this about you, and you did it to the biggest star in Green Bay maybe ever. You hold people accountable. And me and Gabe catch a lot of heat on this show for being negative Nancy. All we're doing is keeping, what did I just say? Keeping players accountable. And there's
keeping
an element,
real.
There's a segment of the fan base that just don't want to keep these guys accountable because they have their jersey or whatever. And I always tell the story when Bob McGinn, and Jason, you were in the locker room, Bob McGinn wrote a tough article about Frank, and Frank was just giving it to Bob McGinn, and I said, Frank, shut the hell up. You played like crap. He has a job to do, and he didn't like it. We broke up for about a week, but, I mean, and the superstar I'm talking about, Jason, is when you got in a fight with Brett because you held him accountable.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a great moment in my career. I really enjoyed that. Him and I yelling at each other.
Jason wants to relive it so bad. So, Jason, here's where I guess. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Gabe. Sorry. No. You go ahead. I'm good.
Well, I was just going to bring it back to Gary and Preston Smith and this whole thing, because where I get lost in this whole thing, maybe this is me oversimplifying, but I mean, you got talked down to last year by Matt LaFleur about, well, you know, the outside linebackers are really like defensive ends once we go to sub package. And if you're playing your sub package last year 75% of the time, and like, to me, for defensive line, when we're talking about pass rush situations, it shouldn't be that much different to me. Like, and if Rashawn Gary, I've seen it sometimes this year on third and long situations, if you don't want to have your hand in the ground, you don't have to have your hand in the ground because you know you're rushing the passer because everybody knows it's third and 11 and they're going to throw the football. So I guess I get lost in Goody giving another excuse saying, well, the defensive line, we haven't had production, you know, half a year, new system. Like, again, it just goes back to, man, how does anybody get sacks in this league? Between chipping and new systems, like, it seems like getting sacks is damn near impossible.
I love your sarcasm because that's almost word for word what I have been saying every time I ask a question about that. And it's really like seven man protections with these backs and the tight end, and I'm like, God, that's really amazing. I can't believe no one has thought to do that to Myles Garrett or to Will McDonald for the Jets, who you picked Lucas Van Ness instead of when you guys flipped draft picks, and the guy that went 15th has been more productive. Yeah, I thought, you know, when I asked Goody about this, I was actually at least pleasantly surprised, because in a rare moment, you know, and I know he expanded it to all the guys on the defensive line, but when I asked him, you know, I understand that Rashawn is a conscientious player, but you have to get more out of him, too, because now he's the leader of the pack up there, right? Like, Kenny Clark, obviously, is more experienced, more decorated, but he's a defensive tackle. We're talking about the guys that are edge rushing, no matter what the system is. He is the guy, and he has not been good enough. And for Goody to respond with, you know, we need to get more out of that group, everybody in that group, that he could have instead answered that differently, that did not acknowledge what was obvious to the rest of us, which is the $96 million player that you have on your roster is not playing up to his contract. And so, again, I don't know what they're going to do during the second half here after the bye week, but the one of the many things that I like about Halfley, unlike Joe Barry, frankly, is that his attitude is not, this is our defense, this is what we do, we are not changing it because it's not working for certain players, we're not changing it because players are coming to me and talking to me about it. That was his mentality. We do what we do. And Jeff Halfley, to his credit, recognizes either weaknesses that something's not working and makes some tweaks to it, or listens to his players and does some tweaks. It's not just a blank check for his guys either. All of them mention this. Like, there are times where they say, look, I want to do this. I think it was Keyshawn Nixon that said it. And he's like, no, we're not doing that. But here's why we're not doing that. And so, again, that piece coming out from Brooke Pryor about Preston getting to Pittsburgh and saying that he requested the trade, that was fascinating to me because I just didn't see that coming, because so many other guys are so much happier than they were in the previous defensive regime.
Jason, Chewy referenced it. We have been taking a little bit of flack for, you know, pointing out some of the deficiencies of the team. What is a sign of optimism? What is something that Packers fans should be optimistic about? Oh, there goes a golf ball just flying into one of those targets here at AmFam Field. Squirrel! What is something that Packers fans should be optimistic about headed into the second half of this season?
What is this, Tausch hosting this show? That's the kind of stuff he does.
Well, and they're glowing. They've got the LED lights on the targets, and I'm seeing orange and neon green balls now flying from these bay areas they've got situated around AmFam Field. But I'm sorry, I digress. What is something that people should be optimistic about?
Well, I think the biggest thing that they should be optimistic about is that they're sitting at 6-3, and they have not come – I mean, I guess the Arizona game was their most complete game, right?
Yeah.
But I Tausch is all over me because I said Arizona's bad and now they're leading the division. I still think they're bad. It doesn't mean that they're
good. Just because the rest of the division is bad doesn't mean they're good.
Right. So I think the biggest positive, and there are others, right? Like Josh Jacobs has been everything they could have possibly wanted. I don't think that there has been a huge jump from a lot of players from what I was expecting from them, especially guys that are in year two. But, like, Jaden Reed is a little bit better, right? But he's kind of what I expected. I was going through this with Homer last night. Tucker Kraft has made a great jump, but if you were paying attention during the second half of last season, again, this doesn't surprise you that he has turned into the player he has. But the thing, so those are all positives too. And I love what Jacobs has done. Like, there is no bigger Aaron Jones stan from the player he is to the teammate he is to the guy he was with us in the media. I mean, I never had a Favre moment with him. But they upgraded. It pains me to say that, but they did. So there's lots of positives, but to me the biggest one is that they're sitting at 6-3, and I don't think they've played that great in the majority of their games. Now, two of them, or two and a half of them, they had to play without Jordan Love, which is another positive that they're sitting here at 6-3 instead of at, you know, 3-6 or 4-5. But to me, it's the biggest thing is that there's so much more out in front of them. If they can get Jordan to turn the ball over less, if they can get that front four rushing the passer efficiently without having to send extra people or fake sending other people, I think there's a lot of really good things down on the horizon for them.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Oh, go ahead, Chu.
Jason, on the injury front, how is Musgrave progressing, and do we expect Jair to miss more time?
I would certainly hope that Jair, after a bye week, would be back. Again, you know, I cite Rob Domofsky's report that they didn't find anything structurally wrong with his knee. So I don't know if he just had swelling or whatever it would have been, or if it's a bone bruise. I don't know, and I did not get to talk to Jair last week. As far as Musgrave, he had the ankle surgery. Someone mentioned on Monday that after the game they had seen a scooter, you know, one of those like knee scooters, in front of his locker. LaFleur did not express, he said hopefully, he did not express confidently that Musgrave would play this year again. So they're hoping that he will. So I don't think he's in probably a great place for that, and it's probably a low percentage that he plays. Maybe he's back. Maybe he's back for the postseason. Again, I don't know what he would look like if he goes in there because, you know, look at where his snap counts were. Look at what his role was. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a guy I think before he got hurt, they were really challenging to say, hey, you were kind of the guy when you got here, and now the other guy is moved not just past you, but appreciably past you. How are you going to respond? And then obviously he's hurt. So I don't know what they'll get from him, if anything, down the stretch of the season.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. I bet you know what I'm going to say next. We'll talk
Take
to you
care,
again
be good.
Soon. Well, that's your line. I would never steal your line. Have a great one, Jason.
Have a great one, Jen. Bye.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every day on ESPN Milwaukee, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Okay, I want to get to that because Joshy made a great point on the show sheet. There has been some, an air of negativity, right? That'll happen when you lose to the Lions, when you lose to the Vikings, when you're in third place in the NFC North, even with people saying that it might be the best division in all of football. And yet, there are things to be optimistic about. We will dive into those right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tune into Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks in Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origin of Bucks in Six, how it became a rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know. Every now and then, I got the blammer coming up and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things. Which I think is a pretty good deal. Right, which gets me in trouble. Life.
You got a Viagra ring?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Gabe, and Chewy live from AmFam Field, where the upper deck golf folks have made their way here to Milwaukee. And all weekend long, you can get out here and you can take some shots from the tee boxes that they have situated all over the stadium. I can only see four targets from where I'm sitting, but Gabe, you said there are nine down there in the outfield of AmFam Field for people to take aim at.
Yep, and then they've got nine different stations all throughout the stadium. For example, that Miller Lite deck that they have, that's hole number one. And then you're walking all around the stadium to go to different teeing grounds that they have. A few up in the loge level, a couple in the club level as well. Should be a fun experience. UpperDeckGolfing.com/AmericanFamilyField. Book your tee time for today, tomorrow, or Saturday.
Excellent. So we just talked to Jason Wilde a few moments ago, and the last thing we asked him was, what are some things that Packers fans can be optimistic about headed into the second half of the season? It is a 6-3 football team, Chew, and obviously, you know, there have been issues, some of it self-inflicted errors that have led to some of their challenges, and yet there are things that we should be positive about with this team. What jumps out to you as something that Packers fans can hang their hat on in the second half of the season?
Last year, they turned it on, got hot at the right time, and they got pretty far into the playoffs. That's a positive thing. I mean, they have the ability to do it. They're just not. They're just not playing clean football right now. They're not playing team football, and I don't know if that's Jordan Love because he's not having quite the year he did at the end of last year. So I think that's a positive. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to go, because I always want to go negative, because that's how I was conditioned. But
I think it's the in them, line.
They just got to get it out, you know? And I'm talking LaFleur, too, because LaFleur has had some game plans that I thought weren't great. So hopefully they recharge after the bye week. They got a tough part of their schedule, and they're going to have to beat some good teams, because to this point, they haven't. They've lost to three good teams. And they've beaten one good team. That's how I look at it. Houston is their hang their hat.
But they have to get it out. That's what I say to my children when they're having a tough time going potty, guys. So are the Packers constipated? Is that what you're getting at there, Chew? I mean, it's in there, but they have to get it out.
You got to give them some X-lax during the bye.
No, Gabe, you can't give Kip. You give them prune juice. That's what my mother in prune juice is nasty.
I'm not talking about the kids. I'm talking about the Packers. Come on, man.
Well, my mother
bringing it back to the Packers. I wasn't giving Jen parental advice. I can't do that. I am not a parent.
And I wouldn't take for whatever it's worth. The gentleman who famously told his child to look away when they had a zanger on their face because it was making it hard for him to eat. Gabe, what are some things we can be optimistic about headed into the second half of the season?
Well, outside of Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, obviously, because I think those guys have played at a Pro Bowl, if not all pro level. I really like what the offensive line has done. Outside of the botched snaps from Elgton Jenkins, which I'm willing to look past because he's playing out of position on a rainy day, right? When he's at guard, he's fantastic. Jason said he's expecting Josh Myers to be back after the bye. I think that group has played really well. They've done a pretty good job of keeping Jordan Love clean. They've opened up good enough holes for Josh Jacobs. So that's, to me, that's the bedrock of, okay, that's something you can build off of. Now, because you have that, you can hopefully have the rest of the offense click into place, whether that's the passing or running game.
I think you got to be optimistic about the improvement in special teams, if nothing other than Brandon McManus being there. Now, obviously, that was something that was hanging around their head. You didn't feel comfortable sending your kicking team out onto the field early in the season. They were able to go out, get a guy, Goody, admitting his mistakes for the guys that he had. And that has been, save the one miss, I believe, that McManus had, that's been pretty consistent. So that makes me feel more confident headed into the second half of the season, Chew, that if they find themselves in those win it off the foot situations, they will be able to win it with this new guy.
So I go by position group, right? Josh Jacobs is playing outstanding. Jordan Love has to play better. Offensive
Correct.
Line, I think, overachieving, playing great. Receiving group, not great, Bob.
Need more.
Not great,
need
Bob.
Other
I need
than
more.
Jaden Reed.
Tight end. Yeah, tight end playing great. Defensive line, Gabe, I'm resigned to that's what they are. That's what they are.
It is what it
Linebackers,
is.
linebackers are trending in the right direction. Trending in the right direction. I think with each game, they're going to get better and better and better. And then the defensive backfield, you know, your safeties are solid as ever. And the corners just, they need to play better. So, yes, there are important position groups that have that in them, but they got to find a way to get it out.
The problem with the defensive backfield to me is it's a, I'm comfortable with the defensive backfield when healthy. To me, there's not a lot of depth there outside of safety. You feel good about Evan Williams and Bullard and obviously McKinney, and then Bullard's on the field as a corner, as the slot guy when you go to your nickel, but we saw what happened when he's out, when Jair's out. There's just not a lot of depth there. You have one injury, and it just kind of sends everybody else shuffling. That doesn't make me feel great. But when healthy, I actually feel pretty decent about the defensive backfield.
This is an optimistic segment, Chu, so I probably shouldn't say this, but when has that stopped me ever before? I was reading a stat this morning that said that opposing quarterbacks have a 114 passer rating when throwing towards Nixon and Stokes. It's like, they are some of the worst as far as what they are allowing in targets and completions in the league at their position. So, again, the conversation that I was reading about was how does Goody regret, you know, trading away Rasul Douglas, because you could certainly use the depth at that position. Doesn't really fit with the things for reasons for optimism in the second half of the season.
And somehow I'm Johnny Raincloud.
But I did feel like
somehow
it was an important
I'm Johnny Raincloud when she's the one who goes negative during the optimistic segment.
I did think it was important for that perspective to be in there, just, you know, from a reality standpoint.
The defense, let's be optimistic. Well, Jair, you better be healthy because Nixon and Stokes suck.
Are giving up completions at an alarming rate.
Gabe, we looked at it yesterday on All 22, and Keyshawn is
yeah, that's
is
a good point.
There.
Tip of the cap to you, sir. Tip
he nailed
of the cap.
It. He didn't even hesitate.
He's there. He's just one step behind. If you look at the play in Jacksonville, that great catch, I forget who the receiver was. It was a corner route. He's there, but you're one step behind. So the coaching staff or the DB coaches have to get him to where he's not one step behind, because when you go against great receivers, which he does a lot of times, you can't be one step behind. You're there,
and that's,
you're there, but you just got to be a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, again, that goes back to the health thing, because the play that we looked at, which is available right now on ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube page, we do it each and every week after a Packers game. If Jair's on him there, I feel better, right? Like, because that was Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, Amon-Ra St. Brown's made a lot of people look bad, and that's where it comes to me, I'm curious what those Nixon stats are when he's going up against a second receiver, right? Because if Jair's on the top guy, I feel better about Nixon in coverage against that guy who's the number two.
It's fair.
Yeah, and there's, you know, when you play good teams have a solid number two. Like Philly, solid number two. When Jameson comes back for Detroit, solid number two. Addison, solid number two. You know, when you're playing against teams that don't have a solid number two, he's not going to be one step behind.
When
Arizona, I mean, what do you think of Keenan Allen? Is Keenan Allen Nixon on
the
Keenan
Bears,
Allen?
The Bears
do
have
you feel?
Good. Yeah. I mean, when DJ Moore isn't walking off the field in the middle of a play, the Bears have a pretty solid receiving core.
Yeah. Like I said, it's there. They just got to get it out of
them. It's true, Ashton. I don't know what your problem is. I just said a factual statement about the Bears and their top wide receiver. He walked off the field in the middle of a play.
Quit.
It's a true thing. Did you see that, Chu?
I didn't, but I heard about it. It's kind of funny, but kind of not.
His quarterback's scrambling away, and it's like his controller turned off. He's playing Madden, and the controller, he just kind of drifted, just started walking toward the bench.
We got to take a break here on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You see how I wanted to pivot away from it as fast as possible so you didn't get any ideas about how the rest of the show should go. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I am seeing the bays out in center field. I guess not center field, but it's behind home plate, but center to where we are looking right now. Starting to fill up. I'm seeing people out there who are going to start taking some shots at these targets here. This is sort of a media day here, right?
No, this is it's open.
Oh, it's wide open.
Yeah, it's going to be tee time starting today. Again, book your your tee time. UpperDeckGolfing.com/AmericanFamilyField. Couple of different tee times, a standard tee time, VIP tee time. You can check that out on the website, the difference between the two. But it is going to be open for business today, tomorrow, and Saturday.
Got it. So that's what it was. I knew it was 3 days. I thought it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but it is, in fact, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. See, that's why they shouldn't let me lead. That's why they shouldn't let me be the Pied Piper. I'm going to drive people right into the river. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this. Guys, if you are saving for tomorrow, you should do it at Great Midwest Bank. They are here to help you make every dollar count towards your future. Looking to grow your emergency fund, maybe save for a big purchase, or plan for retirement? Great Midwest Bank offers a range of deposit accounts designed with your goals in mind. From high yield savings account that will help your money grow faster, to secure CDs for peace of mind and steady returns. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today to explore your options and see how they can help you get one step closer to your financial goals. That's GreatMidwestBank.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
For the Upper Deck Golf event that is taking place this weekend. I've seen people starting to fill some of the bays over there, and we are joined by Andy Barrett, who is the pro here at X Golf of AmFam Field. Andy, thank you so much for joining us. How did this all come about? Do they reach out to you? Do you guys reach out to them? How did this partnership come about?
Well, we have two amazing ladies that work here, Chelsea and Jackie, and they kind of came up with this, and they've been working on this for a long time to kind of make this day happen, and now it's here. They're both excited. They're both running around, and it's a pretty cool event. I'm not going to take any credit. It's those two ladies.
But have you had an opportunity to go to the different teeing grounds? Have you hit any shots out there?
I walked around a little bit out there, and we're going to do a little bit later today, do a little social media promo out there, and it's going to be fun with Chelsea, who's not the biggest golfer, so I think we'll get some laughs in, and with some of the shots I'm seeing out here that are going into dugouts, I don't think we'll feel too bad about how we perform out there.
Oh, yeah. There'll be plenty of people who don't know what they're doing. They did just open up the roof here. And while it's a little chilly, a little crisp this morning, a November morning, as you'd expect in Wisconsin, it is beautiful. What a scene. So how has the reception been? When folks are interested, they're checking out the website, do you feel like you're going to have a pretty good turnout this weekend?
I think, the Fridays, definitely Saturday night. I'm curious about what the night's going to bring. With the lights on the field and the lasers and lighting up and all that kind of stuff during the day, Thursday, we really don't know. We've never done something like this before. So we're kind of, for us, our staff here, we're figuring out as we go. The upper deck staff, they know exactly what's going to happen. But we're kind of waiting and see how it happens and see how the night brings. But, yeah, it gets busier and busier as time goes on, and I'm looking forward to getting out there and trying it.
Book your tee time, upperdeckgolfing.com/AmericanFamilyField, to check out the great event they've got going here today, Friday, and Saturday, where you can go around hitting different golf shots here at American Family Field. But we mentioned X Golf, and we're getting close to that time, Andy. I love this space. I know you love this space, but this is a great space for anybody looking to book a holiday party.
It's a utopia of holiday parties here. We can configure it however we want. We get parties here. We get people touring the place for potential parties, and they seem to, if the date's available, they tend to book and come back the next year. It's a great place for a holiday party. Even if you're a non-golfer, everyone feels comfortable here. You can hit one swing, no swings, 100 swings. You got the great view, great food. It works great for those parties.
Andy Barrett of X Golf at AmFam Field joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. All right, let's talk about it for real, because we've had a wonderful fall. It has not been too chilly. Gabe, I believe, has a tee time on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. So I was trying to play with Andy on Friday, but he's busy. Apparently something's going on.
Yeah, responsibility stinks, you know.
But this, to me, is brilliant, the X Golf location being here, to utilize this gorgeous space we have in Milwaukee year-round. How has, Gabe was saying, 2 years now you guys have been open. How has the response been from the golfing community around southeastern Wisconsin to get out here and utilize the AmFam X Golf partnership in the cold winter months in Wisconsin?
Well, it's I think indoor golf simulation is a booming industry to begin with. It's kind of like bowling during the winter and you golf during the summer. Here you can golf year-round. So it kind of keeps your game sharp. I think back in the day, come snow, you put the clubs away and you don't swing the golf club until the spring comes. That's no longer the case. And I think people are very attracted to that option of playing league here, playing in events here, or just playing in general, eating some food, drinking, socializing, seeing your friend, making a weekly thing of it. And it works. It kind of fills the winter time. So people, the reception is great. And not just here, at all the ex-golfs too. In here, we're a party central and daily, you know, daily rounds, all that kind of stuff. So it's been great. So going into year two, we're constantly getting busier. I do hear a lot of people saying, gosh, I didn't know this was here. But as time goes on, I don't hear that as much anymore.
Well, and the one thing with the simulators, especially during the winter, people want to make swing changes. And now's the time. Get a lesson from you. Come out. Use the simulator. Use the technology available to help get better. So then when you get to the spring, you're feeling pretty good.
You're 100% right. And I'm kind of on the fence on that one. That will usually be my position, like, you know, change your swing in the winter and get ready for the spring. But people compete during the winter too now. Mm-hmm. We have WSGA events here, you know, that we're competing, or league competing, or we're going to be even putting more events here, whether it be a couples event or, you know, two golfers event where they can come here and play there. So we're doing events and competition. So now I'm thinking, well, if you're changing your swing, you're still going to have to compete a little bit. So when is the perfect time to kind of do that overhaul if you feel like you need one of those? Winter probably still is the best time to do it. But there's a lot of competition going on here, and you'll see more promotions about that coming up.
Andy Barrett of X-Golf joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Speaking of competition, I would be remiss if I didn't pit the two of you somehow against each other in some sort of golf competition here with the fantastic Upper Deck Circle sitting out there in the outfield. Is there a hole? Is there a target that you guys are willing to, from these bays right next to us, say that you can hit versus the other person? Come on, you guys. Get that competitive spirit. Get it going here.
I mean, well, if you want me to take money off of Andy, I can take money off of Andy.
Well, hey, just remember, there's no strokes given on in this place, okay? So it's not like outside game, you know? This is even Steven in here. You don't get your...
Strokes are always negotiable.
You don't get your pops out there. So they are negotiable, but we just settled that negotiation, didn't we?
So what do we think? Would we like the yellow flag out there? Do we like the red flag, the blue flag? Which one of those? And you can see it if you're watching on our YouTube stream. We have turned the camera so that you can see the setup here at AmFam Field for the Upper Deck Golf event. Can we pick one of the targets and say who gets closest to the pin?
Yeah,
we can do something like that. And I think there's a lot of people here, they just hit hoping it ends up in one of the circles, not really where they're going. But we can have an exact target if you want.
Sure. Yeah, we'll pick a target. We can do it. A little closest to the pin action.
All right, we will do it today, and we will throw it up on our social media account as a way of also promoting what is going on out here and a way of promoting our great host, X Golf, here at AmFam Field. Andy, thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. It is beautiful. Stunning. I know you handled all of the design.
Yeah. Put my name on that, please. Yes.
No, it is really a great looking space. It's very comfortable. And of course, if you are looking for a spot this winter to continue evolving your golf game, why not come out to AmFam?
Is this your first time here?
This is my first time
here. What took you so long?
Yeah. Great question.
We'll save that for the next segment.
I was going to say probably there the college go. Football responsibilities, the three children, the radio show. I don't know. I'm just
three children, just, not four, you know.
Hey, there was a time where I would have said four.
All right.
We're all growing.
Well, welcome
here.
And come
Thank
back
you.
Again.
I appreciate Thank you. That. Andy Barrett from X Golf here at AmFam Field hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. We will figure out which target Andy and Gabe are going to compete closest to the pin today at AmFam Field.